This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His assistance, and we seek His guidance, and we seek refuge in Him from the evil of ourselves and the adverse consequences of our deeds. We testify that whomsoever He guides, none can misguide, and whomsoever He misguides, none can guide. And we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To my brothers and sisters in Islam, salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, may His blessings, may His safety, may His mercy be upon you all and us all. Wa taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum salih al-a'mal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds. Ameen. We have commenced with the 22nd night of Ramadan, yet another night from the final 10 of Ramadan. And even if it's not decreed to be the night of power and decree and virtue, Laylatul Qadr, it doesn't take away from the fact that this night is from the set of nights that constitutes the best nights of the entire year. The last 10 nights of Ramadan are the best nights of the entire year. And one of these nights houses the greatest night of the entire year. Okay? So that is why, irrespective of our circumstances, our situations, whether it's an odd night, whether it's an even night, we should respect the night by giving it its due. Especially since, without doubt, it is from the greatest nights of the year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all the nights of the year, and He raised 10 nights in rank. And these are the nights that we are in. And then from these nights, He raised one night in rank. And that's the night that we're searching for. If it was last night, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those that witnessed it. Ameen. And if it's tonight, then we ask Allah to accept our Maghrib and our Isha and our Ibadah in between, and our Taraweeh, and we ask Allah to inspire us to more worship throughout this night, to grant us the strength, to grant us the ilham, the inspiration, and the guidance and the tawfiq to worship Him. And if it is in the nights to come, then we ask Allah to preserve us in His obedience and grant us the strength to seek out the night. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. We're continuing with our journey through Surah Yusuf, and yesterday, we sort of reached a transition phase, because finally Yusuf alayhi salam's circumstance and situation has been flagged outside of the prison, and not just in any quarter, but the greatest of quarters, the palace of the king, the highest authority of the land. And we spoke about the inmates of the prison, and we went into some of the theory, some of the tafsir about who forgot. Did Yusuf forget? Did the inmate forget? We discussed the theory of the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. We discussed that, and we deduced from that some lessons, and we analyzed it in some capacity. Although I'm trying my best to keep our series together more tadabbur based and not tafsir based, meaning more reflective based. And reflection obviously comes after the tafsir. So not sharing with you the tafsir, but you rest assured that the tafsir is there. Otherwise, we can't ponder over a misunderstanding of any verse in the Quran. But at some points, I do share some of the tafsir genre of knowledge, because it helps us with our tadabbur and helps us with our reflection. Before that, we had two sessions, which I titled Made to Stick. And I explained why I titled it that way. It's based on a famous book. And those two episodes was dedicated to a da'wah masterclass, dedicated to Yusuf alayhi salam's application in the prison. And I'm not trying to pitch my YouTube channel, but I do insist that you do go back to those episodes and you do watch them. I try and upload them nightly, so please do, because in it there's many lessons. If not, at least bookmark it, save the link to watch after Ramadan. Okay, because truly it was a masterclass, and there was so much that could have been said that I didn't say. And every time I go back, subhanAllah, I think of something, I say, subhanAllah, I didn't say it. It's connected to the da'wah masterclass. For example, One thing we didn't say that should be said, and alhamdulillah for these continued episodes, because we have the ability to do istidrak. We have the ability to capture sayyid al-khatir, captured thoughts, thoughts that were missed. We're able to capture them. One of the things which I didn't tell you about, which is also part and parcel of Yusuf's da'wah to the inmates in the prison, Yusuf's propagation of Islam, propagation of the truth, was ahamiyyah idrak wa ta'amul ma'al hujjaj al-aqliyyah. This is very important. Using intellectual arguments in your da'wah. It's very important, right? And one of the mechanisms of al-hujjaj al-aqliyyah, these intellectual arguments, is to run comparisons. And Yusuf alayhi salam does that when he asks them this rhetorical question. I did touch on the on this slightly. We didn't go into it in with the words that I'm using now, but I did say then that Yusuf alayhi salam is not asking them a question, seeking an answer that he doesn't know. He knows Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar, he knows Allah the Irresistible is the best Allah to worship. This is the better way, this is the best way. But nonetheless, he still asks them. He says, أَرْبَابُ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ. He's asking them. And we said that this line of questioning is not a line of questioning whereby you don't know the answer and you're seeking the answer. The line of questioning that is done with someone who has superior knowledge to you, right? Rather, this is a line of questioning that is done with someone who has inferior knowledge to you. And the reason why you do this is to be rhetorical. I did mention this, that this is a rhetorical question. You're trying to instigate thought. And this is from al-hujjaj al-aqliyyah. This is from the intellectual arguments, this comparison. And the Quran does compare, right? The Quran compares between a seeing person and وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ وَلَا الظُّلُمَاتُ وَلَا النُّورُ وَلَا الظِّلُّ وَلَا الْحَرُورُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs these comparisons in the Quran, that he compares between a seeing person and a blind person and so on and so forth. Allah compares between life and death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compares between light and darkness, right? This is from the eloquence of the Qur'an as well. Because the Qur'an is revealed by a Lord who created a human being and blessed him with a fitrah and blessed him with a brain. And accordingly, the ayat are being revealed. And as we said yesterday, al-naql al-sahih la yu'arid al-aql al-sarih, right? The authentic revelation cannot go against a sound mind. Whenever you have an issue in your mind, you have an issue in your mind with text, revelation comes to you and you doubt it. You feel, no, this doesn't make sense. The issue is not with the revelation. As long as the revelation is sahih, it's authentic, the issue is not with revelation, the issue is with your mind. And what does that need from you? It needs you to investigate some more. Unfortunately today, subhanAllah, something doesn't make sense to us, نَتَّهِمْ النَّصِ. We say, no, there's something wrong with this nas. Okay, but it's sanad, it's clear kashams, it's as clear as the day. It's chained, the way it's reached us is clear as the day. There's no reason for us to doubt this text. But you are basically doubting it because it doesn't make sense to your mind. So, you start belittling the value of the of revelation that has reached you. Our Sheikh Ja'far Idris, Hafidhahullah wa Shafa, well-known Sheikh, who was Sheikh Al-Kul, Sheikh Al-Shuyukh, mashallah, tabarakallah, he's well-respected in the East and the West, originally from Sudan and based in Saudiya, in Riyadh, for many years, and someone who was very close to Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and someone who Sheikh Ibn Baz used to call Allama, subhanAllah. He mentioned a very interesting point about the interaction between us and the text, or some people, how they interact with text. And he says it's interesting that they interact with this, but if you look at a scientist, for example, if a scientist comes across something and it contradicts his or her mind, his or her understanding, right? What do? They don't immediately criticize what has come about as a result of investigation. Rather, they say the matter, meaning their process, is in need of further investigation. I hope I'm quoting him right, but you get the point. And nobody starts doubting science. Do you see the scientist when a conclusion comes about? When a conclusion comes about that goes against your aql, do you see the scientist doubting it? Or does the scientist say that there's need for more investigation? He doesn't deny science. Subhanallah. But when it comes to some people from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something doesn't make sense with them, and they have this marad, the shahwa, this marad, this sickness to follow their desires, what do? They start doing ittiham of the nafs. The scientist doesn't do ittiham of science. The scientist does not belittle science. The scientist does not reduce the vigor and value of science. No, he respects science. She respects science, so she says, I need to learn some more. So what about the believer? If you come across something from the Quran and the Sunnah that is authentic and it's not making sense to you, the issue is with you. You need to study some more. You need to detox yourself some more. Maybe there's too much liberalism floating in your subconscious or adaptive subconscious. It happens with the best of us. Our environments naturally have an impact on us. Right? The environment does have an impact on us. And that's why time and time again, we've highlighted how amazing Yusuf alayhi salam is. That he grew up through his teens, through his 20s, through his 30s, away from the home of his father, with idols, with low social morality, etc., etc. The most formative years of his life grew up in environments that were un-Islamic. But subhanallah, we've seen him time and time again shine, subhanallah, in a way that's pleasing to Allah. When she locked him in the room, he said, ma'adallah. When the women were a test for him, he said, Rabbi, asijnu ahabbu ilay. Prison is more beloved to me. And now he's in the prison. We spoke about it yesterday. He's not going into prison with the people outside saying, al-batal, al-batal, ya'ani, this is a hero is in the prison. It's not one of those ones where Yusuf is in the prison saying, no, people, no, I'm innocent. And the people out there are going to support my cause and they're going to love me more and protest for me more. No. Nobody knows about this. Only the women know about it. The minister's wife know about it. And they threw him into prison to avoid a scandal, which means the only thing out there is this reputation that he was a criminal, he was an evil person. But even though this is his case, we see him in the prison, mashallah. They say, inna naraka minal muhsinin. We see you from the people who do good, subhanallah. That despite all of these tests, he's from those who do good. So, coming back to this point, we talk about environments. Environments have an impact on us. And I've said this to you before, not maybe in the Surah Yusuf series, but maybe in our blast from the past Seerah, Fiqh of Seerah series that we ran in Melbourne and other cities previously. We spoke about this whole discussion between the scientists and the philosophers. The scientists say that the human being is a product of nature. And the philosophers have this discussion about the human being a product of nurture. And the Islamic perspective is that the human being is a product of the fitrah. But the fitrah can be affected by the environment, by nurture, by how they brought up. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the son of Adam kullun yuladu ala fitrati, that everyone is born upon his fitrah, this natural disposition, this instinctive desire to recognize a super being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an ultimate creator. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ, that it's the environment, it's the upbringing, it's the system that the fitrah grows up in that makes this boy or girl a fire worshipper or a Jew or a Christian. Doesn't this make Yusuf alayhi salam even more amazing? That he grew up with idols, with low morality, but he was a believer. وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. This is what he says. I don't have an identity crisis. Nurture hasn't had an impact on my fitrah. And subhanallah, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلِصِينَ وَإِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ فِي قِرَاءَةٍ فِي قِرَاءَةٍ مُخْلَصِينَ وَفِي قِرَاءَةٍ مُخْلِصِينَ. In one riwayah, in one qira'ah, it's مُخْلِصِينَ. And in another one, مُخْلَصِينَ. And previously I connected these two qira'ah together by highlighting that if you live sincerely for Allah, your fitrah will be protected. Why? إِذَا كُنْتَ مُخْلِصًا صِرْتَ مُخْلَصًا. And if you're sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will choose you. And if Allah chooses you, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَى. Allah says that He subhanah, what does He do? He turns away from those who He chooses, سُوءَ وَالْفَحْشَى. All evil and all immorality. Subhanallah, it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we have to make dua to Allah for thabat. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Subhanallah, the second page of Surah Al-Imran. Some masahif may be the end of the first page. where you're making dua to Allah, لا تزغ قلوبنا. Protect our fitra, protect our hearts. Don't cause it to go astray. And this should make us realize, subhanallah, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There's no power, no might except from Allah. Everything is from Allah. All tawfiq is from Allah, subhanallah. And Yusuf recognizes the subhanallah. That's why he says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ. This thabat, this guidance, this steadfastness that I've had throughout my life, despite the circumstances, despite the environment, despite the trials, despite the tests, مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا, is from Allah's fadl upon us. Allah's fadl, Allah's benevolence over us, subhanallah. Right? And we should take from this, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, because we all want guidance for our kids, we want guidance for ourselves, our children. We know what's happening out there, subhanallah. Right? It's very colorful out there, isn't it? Right? It's very colorful. Right? And the lines between, you guys are laughing and smiling yeah. Right? As they say, that the one who has understanding through the road signs, the signposting, you'll understand what's being said. So it's very colorful out there. And we all worried about ourselves and we worried about our children. But we have to turn to Allah. The Quran is teaching us time and time again. It's not you. Ultimately, it's Allah. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانِ Surah Al-Hujurat. What does Allah say? Huh? Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ It is Allah who made iman beloved to your heart. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ And beautified it for you in your heart. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ And he made disbelief hated to you. وَالْفُسُوقَ And sinning, and immorality, وَالْعِصْيَانِ And sins. It's Allah who made it hated to you. Subhanallah. وَكَذَلِكَ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَفِي سُورَةٍ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah says, rather it is Allah who purifies whom He wills. So ask Allah for purification. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها سبحان الله. Even in the dua, we say to Allah, purify our nafs, ourself, purify it and bring it its taqwa. And we are in the month of taqwa. Subhanallah. May Allah grant us the understanding. So al-hijaj al-aqliya, this is a lesson that we missed. Please revise the previous episodes and make notes about this, because it's really a masterclass, a da'wah masterclass. It teaches you, subhanallah, how to take this idea of tawheed that you have in your mind and transfer it to the person you're speaking to in a way that sticks. This is ultimately what you want. You don't want to share an idea and it goes in one ear and out the other ear. And to achieve sharing an idea that sticks in the mind of the person that you place the idea in, there's so much that you need to take care of as a da'i. The environment, the attention span, the freshness of their prefrontal cortex, and so on and so forth. Now we're going to go backwards, so let's not go backwards. Go and revise the session, inshallah. Now, yesterday I promised you that we'll talk about dreams. And why about dreams? I'm not going to go into too much detail because we've already taken too much time here. But just as a footnote to our discussion, as they say, يعني الشيء بشيء يعني يذكر, يعني if something is connected to something, you can mention it, لا بأس. There's no issue there. And we said that the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is connected to dreams. The dream of Yusuf, right? Then the dream now of the people in the prison, we discussed two dreams, so that's three dreams. Then the dream of the king, four dreams. Then the end of the story, هذا تأويل رؤياي من قبل. It's about the ending of the story is about the dream as well. Subhanallah. Dreams, my dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, and it's also a question that's commonly asked, is something that the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognizes. And in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, which is in Sahih Muslim, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are three types of dreams. A righteous dream, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes it as glad tidings from Allah. And the dream which causes stress and sadness. You wake up in the morning and you feel, subhanallah, stressed about what you saw. Sometimes you wake up and your heart is beating and you feel like you're out of breath. It can happen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described this as a sadness that shaitan brings to a believer or to a person in their sleep state. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and dreams that you see which are from the ramblings of the mind. Remember we shared a light point, yani, you know, the other night when we said sometimes you have a your dinner is too heavy, ya akhi. You ate too much. يعني أكلت كثيرا فرأيت أشياء. يعني sometimes it happens, right? You ate too much, so you start seeing funny things in your أضغاث وأحلام. As the people around the king, when the king said, I saw seven fat cows being beaten by seven thin cows and seven healthy, green, fresh crops being consumed by seven brown, dying, wilted crops. They said, أضغاث وأحلام. They said, this is just from the ramblings of the mind. So sometimes we see this. You see this. And many people ask about this, but point number one here, we see, my dear brother and sister in Islam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that the Sharia recognizes dreams and categorizes dreams in three categories, as we see in the hadith of Abu Huraira that I just shared with you. Good dreams, sad dreams, and ramblings of the mind. Okay. But also, يعني, connected to this is the discussion of the dreams of the prophets of Allah. عليهم الصلاة والسلام. The dreams of the prophets of Allah, عليهم الصلاة والسلام, these are not just dreams, these are revelation. Their dreams can also be wahi, revelation, right? Direct communication between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messengers. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Shura, and it is not for any human being that Allah should speak to him except via revelation, أو من وراء حجاب. Right? Except through revelation or from behind the veil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a messenger who reveals, meaning an angel who reveals to the messenger that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And this happens with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed He is most high and wise. Right? This is ayah number 51 in Surah Shura. So the dreams of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are revelation. The dreams of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa sallam are revelation. And where do we see this as an example in the Quran? A prophet who had a dream and it was wahi. Who can share with me an idea? Yes, Ibrahim alayhi salam, ahsant. And we will discuss Ibrahim, or you will learn about Ibrahim in the weeks to come. The way days are flying, very soon it will be Dhul-Hijjah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. Is it towards the end of June this year in terms of the English calendar? Yeah? Subhanallah. So, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he sees in his dream that he is sacrificing his son. And some of the analysis of the evidences pertaining to Ibrahim give the impression that he saw this during the days of the Hijjah. And it was recurring. Inni ara fil manam. I'm dreaming that I'm slaughtering you. It was during the days of the Hijjah. And then Yawm al-Tarwiyah, he pondered over it. Rawwa yurawi tarwiyatan Yawm al-Tarwiyah. They say Yawm al-Tarwiyah is known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah, because the people doing Hajj would fill their water skins and make their camels drink to their fill, and fill the water they will need for Mina and Arafah and Muzdalifah for wudu and cooking and so on and so forth. This is from the meanings of Tarwiyah, but also Tarwiyah referring to the process of playing something over and over again in your mind, contemplating it. And Turawiyah Shay'an. Yani you constantly thinking about it. So this is some of the explanations of our scholars of Islam. That is called Yawm al-Tarwiyah because of Ibrahim's constant contemplation. Wa Yawm Arafah is called Arafah, no doubt, because you stand on Arafah. But some have said Yawm Arafah because Arafah is the day Arafah Ibrahim Madlul Ru'ya. That Ibrahim understood that this dream is not just a dream, but it's revelation. Arafah, he knew. In Arabic language, the root letters Ayn, Ra, and Fa denote knowledge. Ma'rifah. Right? It's connected to the idea of knowledge. Then we have Yawm al-Nahr after Yawm Arafah. Yawm al-Nahr is the day that Ibrahim put the knife to the neck of his son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced it for him because he passed the test. Qad saddaqta ru'ya, subhanallah. Huh? Allah mentions, Qad saddaqta ru'ya. You were truthful to the revelation in your dream, meaning it was revelation. the instruction of your dream, you are true to it. Subhanallah, qad saddaqta ru'ya. Allah replaced it with a ram, wa fadaynahu bi dhibhin azim, as Allah tells us in Surah Safat. So, and we will be doing the udhiyah, isn't it? The hujjaj do the hadi and the udhiyah if they can, and the rest of the ummah, the udhiyah if they can. Practicing the practice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the revelation of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, sorry, the dreams of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, these are the dreams of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, these are revelation. Ahsantum. Imam al-Bukhari reports from Aisha radiallahu anha that divine revelations began to come to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of true dreams. Whenever he had a dream, it would come true like daybreak. So before the meeting of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Jibreel in the cave, before the event of Iqra, before that, for months before that, Allah was preparing his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this connection. He would give him a dream, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wake up, and that what he saw in his dream, it would happen. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And sometimes it happens to us, it's called deja vu. Or deja vu. Maybe it's a bit different, but deja vu, subhanAllah, sometimes we live through a moment and we say, but wallahi, I've seen this before. I don't know where. You were sitting here with the white shirt, with the black jacket, the red guy with the red next to you, mashallah. And ya akhi, I don't know, subhanAllah. But it's the first time it's happening. Where did you see it before? In your dream, in your sleep state. In your sleep state. So, Aisha radiallahu anha reports this about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And, subhanAllah, in Sahih Muslim, Abu Hurairah reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now listen to this, because this applies to us, we're always asking about dreams. Those of you who are truest, meaning in speech, will have the truest of dreams. Or to be precise with the narration, if we translate it exactly, he says, those of you with the truest dreams will be those who are most truthful in speech. What does this teach us? من يستنبط لها فائدة. Who's going to extract from us a benefit from this narration? I'll repeat it. Those of you who are truest in dreams are those who are truest in speech. It's very easy. Come on, guys. Yalla, ya Imam. Ma ra'yuk? Huh? Anta min ahli dhalik. You are from the family of being put on the spot, mashallah, tabarakallah.
Someone who's always truthful and always speaking the truth will always have, or in most cases, have truth.
So there's a connection to human character. Yani, what we learn here, ya'ani means this means. This means that what we learn here is that, subhanAllah, there's a connection between your character and the dreams that you have. As-Siddiq, and Yusuf was Siddiq, subhanAllah, it's amazing. Yusuf wa ayyuha as-Siddiq. Yesterday, when the person went back to the prison and was to get the king's dream interpreted, how did he address him? Ayyuha as-Siddiq, oh truthful one. And Yusuf could interpret dreams. Allahu Akbar. Yani, this is iman boosting stuff, don't you think? Yani, subhanAllah, if you can't believe in Allah after even these type of evidences that you might call tertiary, secondary evidences, la ilaha illallah. When will you have iman, subhanAllah? Look how the Quran, you can see this Quran is from Allah. That you have Allah telling us about this event at the time of Yusuf, about dreams and character. And then we have the hadith of Abu Hurairah from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about dreams and character. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. This is the way of the people of Iman. We know that they were all sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's connected to character. Now, someone might say, but hold on. Are you saying that true dreams are specific to believers? Because disbelievers, they have lied ultimately by denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما رأيك? Do disbelievers have dreams that come true? أيها الفضلاء, O people of virtue, Come on, the answer is in front of you. Kashams, Surah Yusuf. This king, is he a Muslim? Ali yara sab'a baqaratin siman. The one who's seeing the seven fat cows and the seven green crops. He's not Muslim, but he's seeing a dream that will come true. So we learn from this that no, it doesn't mean that disbelievers won't see true dreams. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can show a disbeliever a true dream for a maslaha, for a benefit and a wisdom that's known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But generally as a rule, there are exceptions, but generally as a rule, the truer you are in speech, in character, the more sincere you are with Allah, you will see your dreams will be reflective of that reality. Okay, now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that dreams are one of 46 parts of prophethood. But of mathematics here, fraction. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dreams are one of 46 parts of nubuwwah. How do we explain this? One of 46, I'm sure, if I remember quickly, I don't have notes in front of me, by the way, on this. Let me check if there are any. Because, anybody who wants to try and explain this, I don't doubt what I've shared with you. But does anyone want to try and make sense of this?
I heard somewhere when someone was saying that 46 divided by 2, 23. 23 is the span of the Prophet's mission.
Okay, but how does that explain dreams being one part of...
So that one part, had dreams prior to his mission.
Ahsan. MashaAllah. You're close. You're very close. It's very good. So if you look at the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was how many years? 23 years. 23, how many months in a year?
12.
Okay. So what's 23 times 12? If you say 23 times 12, all right? Divided by 6. Sah? Because he had dreams before he became a prophet for 6 months. Do the math. Do the math for us, ya Jamil. 23 times 12 by 6. 46. Ahsant. Ahsant. You see, his prophetic mission was 23 years as a prophet. In months, how many months did you get? 276. And before he became a prophet, he saw dreams that were coming true for how many months? 6 months. So these 6 months are one portion of 46 portions of Nubuwwah. That's what he's saying. That he counts those 6 months where he saw dreams come true as part of Nubuwwah. It was the preparation for Nubuwwah. Tamam. Now, when you see a good dream, it's a dream that makes you happy, correct? It makes you happy. A good dream is of two types. A good dream is a dream that makes you happy. And the first type of good dream is a dream that's just a good dream, but it won't come true. It's not a dream that is, it's highlighting to you an event. It's a glad tidings in the sense that you feel calm, you feel pleasant, you feel happy. But also you get a good dream that is a true dream. In it are symbols through interpretation. It's connected to an event. And inshallah, that event will come true. Does that make sense? So your good dreams could either be true dreams or just a good dream. It doesn't mean every good dream you see, you need to get it interpreted and something's going to happen. This is number one. Number two, from the etiquettes of seeing a good dream is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is from Allah's fadl, Allah's benevolence upon you, that you had a peaceful, restful sleep. Number three, you do not have to get your dreams interpreted. If it's a dream that has a message that inshallah will come true, even if you don't interpret the dream, it will come true. It doesn't mean the dream won't come true unless you go see someone who can mufassir al-ahlam, someone who can explain to you your dreams. Doesn't need that. Number four, dream interpretation is ijtihad. It's based on personal reasoning. It's not a fixed science. Somebody can interpret your dream. It doesn't mean this is haqqa shams, yani. It's not like it's yufid al-ilm al-yaqini. It's not going to give you certain knowledge. Someone interprets your dream, it doesn't mean it's going to give you certain knowledge. It's not certain knowledge. Even the person interpreting is only basing it based on what Allah has opened on them, but they don't know for sure. they don't know for sure. This is very important, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, because many people have this thing, I have to get it interpreted. And the next point is, I don't interpret dreams. I thought I might as well put it there as part of the 5-point plan, because then the messages come in. Sheikh, I saw this dream. I don't interpret dreams. And I'm not from those who've been blessed with this. But is it something that can be studied? Yes. There's people who don't have the natural ability, but they through study, they've achieved it. Because this, if you study the Sunnah well enough, if you study the Quran well enough, if you're well versed with the indications of the messaging in the Quran and the Sunnah, sometimes Allah opens upon your heart over time and training, and you sit with a sheikh who's done it over years. You sit with a sheikh who knows how to interpret over years. You train yourself. You can capture it. But people are mutafawitun. They're different in their levels and their abilities to do so. The next point is, nowadays we see this whole idea of, I'll just message someone. I saw this in my dream, and he'll send me an interpretation. It's not a clear-cut science like that. Because some of the dream interpreters I've spoken to, they say that if they don't see you in front of them telling them the dream, then it's difficult for them to interpret the dream with great precision. They can have an idea, but not with great precision. And subhanAllah, we see this idea that I've learned from them. You see this in a citation that goes back to Ibn Sirin. Ibn Sirin was from the Tabi'in, from the righteous, from the pious before us. He is known for his abilities with dream interpretation. And it is said that once a person came to him and said, I saw in my dream that I am performing adhan. So Ibn Sirin said that you will go for Hajj, inshallah. It's a sign that inshallah you will go for Hajj. Why? Because that's how he interpreted it. Then someone else came to him and said, I saw in my dream I was doing the adhan. And he says, you'll go to jail. You'll go to jail. How does this work? This is how it is. It's not a fixed science where you can have a book and you can read a book. We have this book, and that's why these books that say this is the dream interpretation of this scholar from the or this righteous person from our past, take it with a pinch of salt. Take it with a pinch of salt. It could be good for general reading, yani thaqafa amma, general reading, but it's not great to actually say I'm studying a science here. Now, when the students asked him, ya Sheikh, Hajj, prison, it boiled down to the person in front of him. He said, the first person when I saw him and he told me his dream, about his dream, I recalled the verse in the Quran, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Ibrahim to announce the Hajj. He says, when the second person came, which ayah did he remember? فَأَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ. From Surah Yusuf, huh? He says, when this person came and said, I saw myself doing the adhan, I remembered the verse in Surah Yusuf, in which Allah tells us about the announcement made by the guards of the palace to the people of the caravan, to the brothers of Yusuf, that one of them is a thief and has stolen. So he interpreted as, you will do a crime and you'll go to prison. So it also ties down to the person in front of you. I just want to highlight this so we don't busy ourselves, subhanAllah, with the dreams. And one other thing to add, our deen is complete. Allah is not going to send some new ibadah, some new Ramadan activity, some new special dua to us via the dream of one of us or somebody who the society considers very pious or righteous that he didn't give to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What he revealed to Muhammad before he passed away, that's ultimately how Allah wants us to worship him. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Allah says, today I have completed for you your religion. Alhamdulillah for this verse, wallahi. Alhamdulillah for this verse. Because it's qat'i. It's certain without doubt. Because today many people tell us that so and so, he saw in a dream, so and so came to him and told him, you know what, you need to worship Allah this way. Lock yourself in a room, switch off the lights, then turn around 10 times and then you will... Ishada ya akhi. Then you will fall down. Of course, anyone ya akhi, if you close the lights and you turn around, you will fall down. It will happen, yani. It will happen. You'll get dizzy, isn't it? The point is that all this that doesn't come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stay away from it. The next point is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said bad dreams. Bad dreams are these dreams that make you scary. These dreams you should never get interpreted. And these dreams you should never give it importance. Once a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "O Messenger of Allah, I saw myself in my dream. My head was rolling and I was running after it." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Don't tell us how shaitan played with you last night. Yani, forget about it." You see? But when you see a bad dream, the Sharia also teaches us etiquettes. The Sharia teaches us that when you see a bad dream, then you should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's say you wake up and you've had a bad dream. You wake up in the middle of the night. Whew, and then you say, "Alhamdulillah, it was just a dream." You know, some dreams are so vivid, they're so real. You actually think it's happened. And then you wake up and it's a surreal experience. Tayyib, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He taught us in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu that he should spit 3 times to his left. 3 times to his left, and he should seek refuge with Allah from shaitan 3 times. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Oh, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Meaning 3 times. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Seek refuge in Allah from shaitan, the cursed one. And then change the side that you were sleeping on and go back to sleep. Turn over. Okay. Now, what does spit to the side 3 times mean? It doesn't mean wet spitting. It means dry spitting. You know what you're... Not start clearing your throat. Huh? Especially if you married, my brothers. Please. And sisters. Please. Because if you start clearing your throat 3 times after seeing a bad dream, you will see a bad dream. If she is on your left and you thought you saw a bad dream, you will see a bad dream. Dry spitting. Tayyib, I thought I'd share that just as a precaution, because we never know. We live in a very, as I said, colorful age, ya akhi. People take information and they do all sorts of things. And they say, "Wallahi, the Sheikh at the Medina told us." La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Tayyib, also, it is recommended, as we see in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, to get up, make wudu, offer 2 rakats of salah. Recommended. If you can, do this. This is better. Na'am. And as we said, from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to never ever let, meaning never tell other people about your dream. Don't go to people and say, "Last night I saw somebody in a car crash, I saw..." Don't tell anyone about it. The ummah is a ummah of fa'al. What is fa'al? It's a positive ummah. كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُحِبُّ الْفَأَلْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to love positivity, positive environments, positive conversations. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like he said to this man, don't tell us how shaitan played with you when you were asleep. Don't tell people about it. Forget about it and move on with your day. Because when you tell people about these dreams that you had negatively, it might involve them. You might say, "Brother, I saw last night you were in a car crash." Now what are you going to do to the brother? He's going to be thinking about it the whole day. And subhanAllah, you know. And dreams are, it doesn't mean you see someone in the dream that it means that person. Dreams are about symbols, as you can see in how Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted the dream of the king. As for human cognitive thoughts, like we said, the ramblings of the mind, this is, something that you can deal with, you know, if it's related to your diet. Some people I know, they eat too late, they have these dreams. They eat too much, they have these dreams. So change your diet, change your eating plan, right? Eat light at night, go to sleep, alhamdulillah, you will experience... as you know, sleep, there's types of sleep. You have REM sleep and you have NREM sleep, isn't it? Go read about this. We won't make this a lesson on sleeping and the art of sleeping. Allahu musta'an, this is a science now. There's books on this, how to sleep. As if people aren't sleeping enough. They're not sleeping the sleep that these books are talking about. They're sleeping the sleep of being distracted. An-nasu niyam wa idha ma tustayqadhu. They're awake, but it's as if they're sleeping. Because they're living through distraction. And then when you die and you see the angel of death and you see the angels and... تَسْتَيْقِدْ يَعْنِي. What you read about is true, you wake up to it. That subhanAllah, it is haqq and it's true. Okay, so inshaAllah, today I think we have dedicated our session to dreams. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. In terms of the surah, as we said, Yusuf is in a transition. And this transition is because he's about to come out of the prison. I'm only going to speak about this point and we'll end. The king said, "Bring him to me." No doubt the king knows this person pouring my wine, he can bring a dream interpretation, but can he bring the interpretation and the solution? This is next level. And you guys need to watch yesterday's episode to appreciate what I'm saying right now. Okay? Because we discussed this yesterday. Yusuf not only interpreted the dream, he gave the solution. When this employee of the palace goes back, or this slave in the palace, this person under the authority of the king, goes back to the prison to Yusuf alayhi salam and says to Yusuf alayhi salam, the king is calling you out. Now look, this is instant freedom. Just like he had instant, his jailing was instant, no due process. There's no due process required. And this teaches you, this is like a bit of a caliphate. Huh? And the king says, be, and that's it. It doesn't need the House of Parliament, and then the House of Lords, and then a vote. And then, you know, the vote can go, once if it passes Parliament, it goes to the Lords. I don't know how it is here, but in another country that I know of, that's how it is, without sharing any details. The point is, here the king made a decision, قُضِي الْأَمْرِ, come out. Nobody can stop him. But guess what? Yusuf alayhi salam has, you can say, a green carpet between the prison and the king. But he refuses to come out of prison. Allah, subhanallah. He refuses to come out of the prison. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ الرَّسُولُ. Again, look from al-balagh al-Qur'aniyya. Look at the Quranic eloquence. And Allah doesn't give us all the finer details. You can put the details together yourself. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ الرَّسُولُ قَالَ, Yusuf said to him. Allah doesn't tell us what he said to Yusuf, because we already know what he's going to say to Yusuf, because the king said, what did the king say? Bring him to me. So we know the king, the slave is going to go and tell him. The king said, go to him. No need for repetition. Allah says, Yusuf alayhi salam said to this messenger, irji', go back, ila rabbik, to that king. فَاسْأَلْهُ مَا بَالُ النِّسْوَةِ اللَّاتِي قَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنْ إِنَّ رَبِّي بِكَيْدِهِنَّ عَلِيمٌ. He says, go back to the king and tell the king to ask the women about what happened. Which women? The women who cut their hands. When did they cut their hands? When they saw this angel. This man who is like an angel. يعني ما هذا بشرة. They forgot that this is an apple or a banana or whatever they were cutting. It just went through until they felt, La ilaha illallah. Yani, we would say that. We don't know what they said. But you get what happens. Sometimes you're distracted. You distract, like yesterday. I was walking into the lift. And this building that I'm staying in, you can't move without this card. Everything is card, 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 card. So even the lift, you can't push your floor. She walks into it. She's on her phone from before the lift. From before the lift, she's on her phone. Distracted, huh? And the other lift opened, which takes you through some other floors. She walks into there and she just walks out again on the phone. Then the lift I'm going into opens, she just walks into it. She's not checking which floor. She walks into it and she doesn't even put the card to click the floor. So I put the card, I put the floor, and she's busy on her phone. Now the lift, these lifts move fast. Because the building that I'm in is a very high building here in Melbourne. And it's one of those when you know when you go to Mecca and you're in the clock tower. Huh? You see how fast those lifts move. Has anyone been in the clock tower in Mecca? Khair. Khair. And it's not a must. But if you have, it's an example. Have you ever been in a building that is a skyscraper and the lift moves, subhanAllah, you feel like your ears popping. Yeah? It's moving so fast, she's on her phone. Then a few seconds later, it dawned upon her. Oh, I'm in a lift and the lift is moving. And she's quickly trying to scramble for the floor. Now, lucky someone else in the lift, alhamdulillah, I'm completing the story. Otherwise, someone will say, Wallah, Shaykh, mashallah, kan, yani, fis bid mas'ad ma'a, ma'a bint. Alhamdulillah, Allah made it easy. It wasn't just me and her, there was someone else. Alhamdulillah, somebody else had clicked the floor that she needs to go to. This is the life today. People are just distracted. People are just distracted. But coming back to the point, you can get so distracted. Maybe if she was cutting a fruit, she might have cut her skin. Wallahu alam. Because that level of distraction, you don't know what's happening. So these women, they were so distracted by the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, they cut their hand. Yusuf is being specific. He's saying, tell the king to ask those women about what happened. The very women who have blood that testified, you could say, to how amazing Yusuf alayhi salam was. They testified to his beauty with their blood. What happens? Remember, Yusuf says, Inna Rabbi, meaning Allah. BKD, yani, Rabb here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabb here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. BKD hinna alim. And you could say Rabb here refers to the minister who is in charge of the home because he knows what his wife did to him. The minister knows what his own wife did to Yusuf alayhi salam when she locked him in the room. But the common tafsir is Rabb here means Allah, and some of the scholars have said, and no doubt this is from Judeo-Christian narratives, they call it Israeliyat, Judeo-Christian narratives. Some have pieced from there that the minister passed away. And that's why Yusuf is now dealing directly with the king. Because the king could have said, call the minister. The minister is under the king. So he's dealing directly with the king, meaning he passed away. Wallahu a'lam, whether he passed away or whether he was removed from his post, Allah knows best. It's not important. Allah didn't tell us in the Quran. Yusuf says, Inna Rabbi, my Lord, bikaydihin. Regarding their plot, is alim, he knows. Who taught Yusuf that his Lord is alim? Who taught him? His father. When? At the beginning, when Yusuf was a young boy in his house. Remember, Yusuf alayhi salam was taught by his father. Inna rabbaka alimun hakim. Remember, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبَ كَمَا أَتَمَّهَا عَلَىٰ أَبَوَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Yusuf, maybe he's 47, maybe he's 50, Allah knows best. How many years later, after the conversation with his father, he's saying, إِنَّ رَبِّي بِكَيْدِهِنَّ عَلِيمٌ. Allahu Akbar. Prophetic parenting. You have to watch that session if you didn't watch it as well. Now, before we go into the whole thing of the king and the city, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, and this is why I brought this verse up, is we've been talking time and time again, subhanallah, of Yusuf. Yani he was ajeeb in his looks, but also, la ilaha illallah, he's ajeeb in his iman. He's ajeeb in his heart, with his heart, right? His heart is amazing. Ajeeb means phenomenally mind-boggling, beyond descriptive, beyond our ability to describe, amazing. His looks was like that. The women cut their skin to tell us how amazing he was in his looks. But he wasn't just a good-looking man. His character was beautiful. His iman was beautiful. His relationship with Allah was beautiful. His ability to be measured, part of character, part of his personality was beautiful. Personality. Why? Yusuf is teaching us here that Yusuf has the complete package of sabr. You know sabr? Sabr is to be patient. Now, I didn't discuss this at the beginning of Surah Yusuf when Ya'qub said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Because he mentioned there, I'm going to exercise a beautiful patience because I wanted to discuss it later on. And Ya'qub is going to say, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ as well, but let's package the topic of sabr here. Ya'qub had beautiful patience as well, yani, no doubt about it. And Yusuf has it as well. Patience can be understood based on its categories. Now, at a very simplistic level, patience is really about your ability to keep yourself together when the circumstance strikes you and is the natural consequence of the strike is you break apart. What is patience? You keep yourself together. As somebody makes you really angry, the consequence of his action towards you is you losing your normative state. But you be patient and you maintain your normative state. It needs effort, it needs juhud, sah? It needs an effort from within. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا. End of Surah Ali Imran. Na'am. Towards the end of the third quarter of the fourth juz. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sabiru. Be patient. Wasabiru. Warabitu. Subhanallah. Allah tells the people of Iman, be patient. Wasabiru. Sabiru. Yani in Arabic there's a principle. Yani ziyadat al-mabna tadullu ala ziyadat al-ma'na. Yani if you have a word that has increased letters, the increased letters means the meaning is also increased in intensity. So sabir means more than isbir. Because isbir is the command form of sabr. Sabir is sabr. Sabr is three letters, sabir is, sabara is four letters. Which means the meaning of sabr is different than the meaning of sabr. Yes, they both mean patience, but sabir refer is a command to you being yani persistent. Isbir, be patient. Sabir, be persistent with your patience. And some of the scholars have said, and I've written this in my book, The Three Eyes of Success, that inshallah will come out this year, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Inshallah, ya Rabb. They've said, sabr is to be patient when the fight is within you. And sabara yusabiru, sabiru is to be patient when the fight is within you and the environment is supporting you following the consequence of the action that's been done to you. Subhanallah. And somebody makes you angry, right? So that's an internal matter you're dealing with. You're dealing with it internally. You need patience for it. But then you have your friends who tell you, punch him. Go for it. Yalla. He deserves it. Don't be weak. Now you need to be persistent upon your patience, because now you've held yourself, but now you have a circumstance that's trying to break your endeavor. So now you need, this, Allah says, sabiru, be persistent upon your patience. And Allah says, warabitu. Rabitu is endurance. Rabitu, sometimes it's a case whereby the external environment is lasting in pushing your internal battle towards breaking point. It's not a short thing, but it's like lasting. A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You need يعني مرابطة يعني رابط. You need to endure it. Subhanallah. This is patience. I'm giving you just an abstract, general understanding of patience from the practical realm. Okay, without going into the theory, linguistic theory and Sharia theory. Now, patience, after what I've described to you, to understand it, break it into two categories, to understand it from the Muslim perspective. Patience that falls with, patience that is divided into three categories. Number one, as-sabr ala ta'atillah. To be patient, to remain upon the do's. Allah told you do this, and your nafs doesn't want you to do it. It's Fajr time and your nafs is saying sleep. And you force yourself to wake up. This is sabr. And anta tasbir likay tanal ridha Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You patient so that you can achieve Allah's pleasure. Now, a time will come where you can just easily wake up. And we'll discuss this when we come to the reality of the nafs. And nafs, the nafs is of three types. When we discuss wama ubarri'u nafsi. But take this now, so when we get there, inshallah, you can connect it. There's waking up for Fajr is hard. A time will come when it will be easy. But before you get to the time when it becomes easy, you need to have sabr. Okay? This, you need patience. Patience to remain upon Allah's commands. Then you need patience to remain away from falling into that which Allah told you not to fall into. Your nafs wants to look at her or look at him, but you know Allah says, lower your gaze. So you be patient and you lower your gaze. It might be hard at the beginning, sooner it will become easier. But between hard and easy, you need to exercise patience. And then, as-sabr ala aqdarillah. Patience that you need to exercise when Allah's qadr reaches you and it doesn't go your way. You studied for your exam, you did everything in your capacity, subhanAllah, things didn't work out, you failed the exam, this is the qadr of Allah. Right? It's a difficult situation, but you remain patient so that you do not say anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, قدر الله وما شاء فعل. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. لله ما أخذ وله ما أعطى. كل شيء عنده لأجل مسمى. يعني, you say these words from the sunnah. That indeed we are from Allah and to Allah we will return. Whatever Allah decreed, He has done it. And we be patient. And we only say that which is pleasing to Allah. Whatever Allah does, He does good. This needs patience. This is a categorization of patience. But there's another category. The other category, and this is what I want to touch on now, that Yusuf is teaching us here. Yusuf is teaching us, أَنَّ الصَّبْرَ يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَىٰ الصَّبْرِ الْإِضْطِرَارِ وَالصَّبْرِ الْإِخْتِيَارِ. Subhanallah. That sabr is divided into two parts. You have الصبر الاضطراري. الصبر الاضطراري is when you have to be patient. And we said, when you have to be patient, there's three times when you have to be patient. To remain upon Allah's laws, to stay away from Allah's warnings, what Allah told you to stay away from, and to be patient, I mean, to maintain yourself when Allah's qadr comes upon you and it doesn't go your way. That's a sabr ittirari. Yusuf alayhi salam, since the time he was abducted, he's been exercising a sabr al-ittirari, compulsory patience. Yaqub alayhi salam, his father, since Yusuf's been abducted, he's been practicing a sabr al-ittirari, compulsory. You have no choice but to be patient. But now the king is saying, come out of prison. And he's saying, I'm going to be patient and stay in my difficulty. هذا الصبر الاختياري. أنا أختار أن أكون صابرا. I am choosing to be patient and I'm going to stay with this difficulty. How amazing is Yusuf alayhi salam? Like I said, wallahi, I never teach this to surah, except there's people in the audience who will name their children Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf. Were you here yesterday when I said it? And someone here says, wallahi, I'm thinking the same thing. I'm going to name my child Yusuf. He's missing today, subhanAllah. If he heard this lesson, done deal, yani. Huh?
I'll make sure to go tell him.
Send him to the YouTube channel. This is a sabr al-ikhtiyari. Now, a sabr al-ikhtiyari, this is from the completeness of character, wallahi. Because this shows that Yusuf is a person who is measured. This is from the completeness of a person. A person who can be clinical when he needs to be and measured when he needs to be. This is from the completeness of akhlaq and character. Subhanallah. You get some people, mashallah, they're on it, but sometimes it comes across as bad character because there's times when they need to be measured, but they don't have that patience and they're very quick and they make mistakes. The leadership is judged like that when you're a leader. When are you able to be measured and when are you able to be an executive? When are you able to exercise the executive hat and when can you exercise the measured hat? That's the science, ya akhi. When you're in a position of leadership, because you're dealing with different people. Right? Some people are more creative in their approach. Some people are more prescriptive. Some people are more detailed in their approach. You have some people in your team. If they don't have the whole paperwork of how this project is going to be, the budgeting, the plan, the process flow, the SWOT analysis, etc., etc., يعني العقل ما يمشي. He can't do anything. You have to know how to work with that person. When to be prescriptive with him, when to be measured with him. If you be too prescriptive, you'll break him. If you be too measured, the project won't take off. Some people are like that. Some people, subhanAllah, they just get on with it. You tell them, do on the horse, beating, meaning full speed. They're gone. DHL, express execution of the project. Now, those people, you have to know how to be measured with them, hold them back at certain points. Why? Because maybe they haven't understood the risk portfolio well, makhatir. You're doing this so quick, but hold on. You're jumping this, you're jumping that, you're jumping that. This could all end up falling on our faces if no one to pull them back. But you can't be too measured with them, because if you keep them too measured, you'll break them as well. They'll say, oh Allah, I can't work here. Khalas, I'm going somewhere else. That's for a different lesson, inshallah. But ultimately, we see Yusuf, he has it, ya akhi. MashaAllah. Ya akhi, meaning my brother. He has it. As-sabr al-ikhtiyari. And he has this for a maslaha al-uliya. You see, if he comes out of the prison, think about this logically. And this is from the eloquence of the Quran. Yusuf has been thrown into prison for a crime he didn't commit. But who knows that he didn't commit the crime? Only he knows. If he comes out of the prison and he's working with the king, and then the king sorts out his situation, what will people say? Wasata, huh? No? Yeah, vitamin wow. They say vitamin wow, yani wasata. يعني هو قريب من الملك والملك تصرف في مسألته. And he's close to the king and the king sorted him out. But he's guilty. What does that do anything for his reputation? Doesn't do anything for his reputation. It doesn't do anything for his reputation. So Yusuf, before he interacts with the king, he says, no, fix my reputation first. Whilst I'm in the prison, fix it. So when I come out of prison, I come out with my reputation intact, then I will engage you in terms of how to sort out the problem that's coming. Allahu Akbar. Walillahi al-izzatu. Wali rasulihi. Walil mu'mineen. You can see this man, he is saying, my izzah. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not this malik, not anybody else. Yu'izzu man yasha. Wa yudhillu man yasha. Allah raises in rank whom He wills and He debases whom He wills. I leave you with this, what can we call it? Bomb blast from the life of Yusuf alayhi salam to ponder over as you move through this night. Jazakumullahu khairan. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Hada wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.